Good morning, everyone. I want to talk about choices this morning. Our text is going to be out of Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. I've entitled this, It's Our Choice. Before we read the text, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word, for the foundation that we have, sure foundation, Lord. Your book of knowledge that you've given to us to teach us who you are and who we are and to help us live for you, Lord, if we will obey you and follow you. I thank you for our guests today. Ask a special blessing on them. Lord, I ask that you bless as we read this word, that you would take it to our hearts. Let your light shine within us. Take this truth to our very soul. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, I want to talk about choices today. Life's all about choice. And I know everybody in here knows that. You choose a career, you may have to go to a college. You may have to go to some kind of a tech school, a work school. You have to put time and effort into it, certain careers. You know, if you want to be a doctor, you go to medical school. You want to be a teacher, you go to college and put teacher stuff in your head. From our last administration, I figure if you want to go into politics, you don't have to put much of anything there. But today I want to talk about choices. God has a lot to say about choice in the scriptures. So our text today is Romans 8, 12 through 17. Paul's talking to the church at Rome. He says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." As I said, life is all about choices. If you read the Bible, it is filled with proof of this. Adam and Eve had a choice. The first couple that were on the earth, God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden and said, "Don't eat it." And they made a willful choice to eat off of it. A lot of people today like to blame God for the condition of our world, but it's not him. It said the world he created, everything he created was very good. But when Adam and Eve chose to eat off that tree, sin and death came into the world. So you can thank them. Don't blame God for it. Noah had a choice. If you're familiar with the story of Noah, God said, "I'm going to flood the earth. I'm going to destroy the earth." And the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Now, I said Noah had a choice. If Noah would have reacted like a lot of us Christians do today, none of us probably be sitting here. He'd probably put off, "I'm going to build that boat someday, but I got other things I got to do right now." But the Bible says he moved by faith. You know, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. And it sounds very simple to me. God says those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, that's a choice. We have to choose to seek God. We have to choose to want to know God. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit this past month, about the person of the Holy Spirit, what he does in the life of a believer, the promises that we have through the Spirit of God that lives within the Christians. Abraham had a choice. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. I often wondered how that went when Abraham went home and told his wife, "Honey, pack up, we're moving." And she said, where are we going? I don't know. I don't know very many women that would have wanted to follow their husband to I don't know. But it said he did it by faith. Why? God called him to go. Now, Abraham had a choice. I believe in the sovereignty of God, but I don't believe in the way that some churches teach it. You know, they almost make it like Abraham didn't have any choice. God said go, and it was God's will to go, and Abraham had to go. But we're free will. And all you got to do is go back to the book of Genesis to learn that. God put that tree there, and he said, don't eat off of that tree. And they ate off of it. So they made a choice. Noah had to make a choice. Abraham had to make a choice. You know, we read about Moses. He had a choice. If you're familiar with the story of Moses, he was a Hebrew child. His mother put him in a basket in a river because Pharaoh commanded that all the male children be drowned, and Pharaoh's daughter found him and raised him as her own son. But the Bible says that when Moses came of age, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses could have been in line for the throne of Pharaoh. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. He was given the best education. He had the riches of Egypt at his disposal. The historian Josephus said Moses was a general in the Egyptian army, a high-ranking person, and Moses put all that aside to be counted with the people of Israel because he was a Hebrew. That was a choice that he had to make. And it said it was by faith that he made that choice. He decided he would rather be mistreated with the other slaves than to be called Pharaoh's son. He would rather do that than enjoy sin. It seemed that he had the whole world laid at his feet, and he walked away. After God gave the law to Moses and to the children of Israel, he gave them a choice, a decision that every individual had to make for themselves. He gave them the law, the do's and the don'ts. And in the law there was blessings if you obeyed and curses if you disobeyed. There was life if you obeyed. There was death if you disobeyed. Now we all die, but there were certain crimes under the law of Moses were punishable by death. There was no reprieve. There were no appeals. You died. You forfeited your life. And God said to Israel, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. How many of you know those are all choices that every one of us have to make? God said, you choose. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So God laid the law out. He said, here's the blessings of the law. Here are the curses. I want you to choose the blessing. I want you to choose the life. Now I've heard some say, well, they couldn't. God knew they couldn't. Well, then that was an unfair request on God's part. And God doesn't do anything unfair. God is a just God. He gave them the choice. And he said, here's life, here's death, here's blessing, here's cursing. I want you to choose life. They had to make a choice. And if you know the history of Israel, many of them made the wrong choice. They chose the curses and they chose the death. And they acted so surprised when it came on them. When they got the consequences of their choices, they got upset with God. In fact, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, man's own ways lead him to destruction, and his heart rages against God. I've got a grandson in prison right now. I hate it. I know what it's like. And I hate him being there. But if he calls me whining about where he is, I remind him, you chose. You chose the path to walk. You were warned. I warned you. You were warned by the judges. Next time you're going up, and now you're up. It's not that I'm not sympathetic. I don't want him there. But he made a choice. Our choices have consequences. And I'm talking to all adults here, and I know you're sitting there thinking, duh, we know that. But sometimes we don't. Especially when it comes to our faith in God. We think we're free to do whatever we please as long as we believe in Jesus. I've heard that for years. Well, I believe in Jesus, so I'm okay. The Jews believed in God. They saw his miracles. God gave him his law as a guide, as a roadmap, and said, now you follow this or you'll die. There's a passage in the scriptures of Isaiah where God said, Israel has said, surely I'm not going to die. I'm God's covenant people. We're God's covenant people. He's not going to punish us. Well, God did exactly what he said he was going to do. Why? They made the choice. You see, our actions have consequences. Now, God called the Israelite people to be his people. And if you're familiar with the scriptures, God said to them, you be holy because I'm holy. Boy, there's a lot of funky definitions of holy floating around today, and they had them then. They thought they were holy by association. Well, we're God's covenant people, so we're holy. And God laid down some guidelines and said, no, this is holy. You be holy because I'm holy. And when he called them to be his holy people, he said, you're to be different from the other nations. And how many of you know that that didn't give them favored nation status with the other nations? God called them to be a separate people, to be a holy people. He promised to be with them. He promised to protect them. He promised to bless them if they would follow him. But it didn't give them favored nation status. The other nations lined up against them. What point I want to get across, having said all this, is to say this. When God calls you to follow him, it always comes at a cost. This cheap grace, this free grace these preachers are preaching today is sloppy grace. It's not the grace of God. When God called Abram to leave his country and his family and go to a place he would show him, when he called Moses to go back to Egypt where he was wanted for murder, it changed their lives. When God called the Israelites to be his people, it changed their lives. He brought them out as slaves. They were not a formed nation. They had no form of government. They had no idea what they were going to do when they got where they were going. And God gave them his law. He gave them a structural form of government. And he said, now you need to follow me. But he said, you're my people, and you're supposed to be a witness to the nations around you that I'm God. They failed to do it. Many of them failed to do it. The apostles had a choice to make. If you're familiar with the New Testament, Jesus would walk up to these men and say, follow me. Now, many rabbis did that. They would select disciples, and they would say, you follow me. I heard of one rabbi that a young man was coming after him, and he was hollering at him and saying, Rabbi, I want to be your disciple. And the rabbi wouldn't pay any attention to him, wouldn't even answer him. And it said he kept on walking, and the young man kept following him, and he kept yelling after him, Rabbi, I want to know what you want to know. A disciple not only wants to know what the rabbi knows, he wants to be like the rabbi. And he said, I want to know what you know. And the rabbi still wouldn't answer him. Said, then the rabbi came to a river and waded out into the river to go across. And the young man came up behind him and said, Rabbi, I want to be your disciple. And the rabbi stopped and turned around and looked at him and said, you really want to be my disciple? He said, yes. He said, you really want to know what I want to know? He said, yes. And he grabbed the young man and shoved him under the water. And he held him down there for a little bit and pulled him up. And the guy was choking and sputtering. And he said, do you really want to know what I want to know? And the guy said, yes. He shoved him under and held him under a little longer. And he pulled him up again, and by this time the guy's choking and sputtering and spitting up water. And the rabbi said, "Do you want to know as much as you want air?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Then follow me." When Jesus called these men to follow him, they walked away from their families, their businesses, their homes. And for 3 years they followed him. And their lives were never the same after that. Jesus' apostles had a choice to make. He said, "Come and follow me." They could have said no. Now some people disagree with me. Oh no, they couldn't have said no. You know, Jesus said follow him. They had to follow him. They didn't have to do anything. They chose to follow Jesus. For whatever reason, they chose to follow him. The same is still true today. Jesus told us that following him would come at a great cost. People don't like to hear that. You know, I'm against a lot of the gospel preaching I hear on TV because to me it's like a game show. Here you come, follow Jesus. Here's what's in it for you. A new car. Divine health. Money in the bank. God just wants to bless you until you're overflowing. That's not the gospel I read in the scriptures. That's not what Jesus said. When he invites us to follow him, he said, it may cost you everything you have. In fact, it will. He said, if you choose to follow me, you're going to be reviled. You'll be hated. You'll be persecuted. In fact, he said, if you choose to follow me, you're going to have to carry your cross. The cross was a death sentence. And Jesus said, if you can't carry your cross, you can't be my disciple. He didn't say, come follow me and you're going to have a new car. Well, they didn't have cars back then. You're going to have a new camel. You're going to get a donkey. The Romans will never bother you. The Greeks will leave you alone. Jesus didn't say that. He said, if you're going to follow me, you better count the cost. He told a couple of parables in line with that. Well, I want to be a Christian. Hey, all you got to do is say this little prayer and you're in like Flynn. Get baptized. As long as you believe in Jesus, you're fine. Jesus didn't say that. He said some of your own family have become your enemies. People talk about unity, and I'm all for getting along. Jesus didn't promise unity. Now, he wants his church to be unified. He wants us to be of the same mind and of the same spirit. But what Jesus tell his apostles, he said, I didn't come here to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. He said, the gospel is going to divide people. You know what that tells me? In my simple way of thinking, Jesus said, you're going to have to pick a side and get on it. The demands of the gospel, God's demands, if you want to choose to follow him, are going to change your life radically. You'll never be the same. Just as God called Israel to be his people, now he calls the church to be his people. And he doesn't say it's easy. Then people tell you being a Christian's easy, you're trying to say something. Peter said to the New Testament church that when we become Christians, we choose to follow Christ. He said that the Gentiles, what are you speaking of in his day, the unbelievers are going to think it's strange that you don't follow them, that you don't do the same things they do. I hate that preaching that says to people, well, you come to Christ, you come to this church, God doesn't expect you to change. You don't have to stop doing anything, just as long as you believe. Peter said they're going to think it's strange that you don't run with the crowd, but he said they're going to have to give account to the judge. I'd rather stand before my God with a clear conscience than to compromise with the world and stand before him and have to answer for that. Now, am I any better than anybody else to make a Christian? No. But being a Christian means it's a life of choice. That's what Paul's talking about in this text. He talks about the choice that we have to make. Are we going to follow the flesh? Or are we going to follow the Holy Spirit? We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. God places his spirit within his people to mark us as his children, to guide us and lead us through life. But Paul said to the Christians of his day, and I believe today, you have a choice to make. You see, you still have the flesh. Now, that's been made out to mean a lot of things. It's not. The Greek word there is sarx, and it literally means body. But we have these desires of the body that go contrary to the law of God, to the teachings of God. And Paul said to the church in his day and to the church of this day, you have to make a choice. Who are you going to follow? The problem we have in the church today that I see, we want the Holy Spirit to follow us instead of us following the Holy Spirit. We want to get out there and say, come here, Jesus, come on with us. We got this all figured out. Instead of saying, Lord, what do you want us to do? This world is full of distractions, church. Jesus warned us not to be deceived, which means we can be deceived. This world is full of temptations. Depending on the background you came out of, there's a lot of things that can be used against you to try to pull you back, to pull you away from the Lord. You have to make a choice. Am I going to live for the glory of God, or am I going to live for my glory? A lot of us need to execute our king. There's three realms that I see in the scripture. There's the heavenly realm, there's the realm of darkness, and then there's the self realm. Now, when I say it's you need to execute the king, if you are the ruler of your realm, if you sit on the throne of your heart, you need to get rid of that old boy. You need to depose him or her. You need to allow God to sit on the throne of your heart. That's what Paul's talking about. And thank God he doesn't leave us to do that by ourselves. I'm no good by myself. I don't trust me. I can be tempted and I can be drawn away from God just as easy as anyone else can. But praise God, I don't walk alone. I have the Spirit of Christ with me. I have the mind of Christ within me. I have the Spirit of truth within me. God helps me to understand truth. He helps me to understand this word. And I'm not unique. Sometimes people think, well, the preacher's supposed to know the Bible. All God's people should know the Bible. This Bible is a book of knowledge that God has left us, but knowledge is not wisdom unless it's applied, church. You can know all about God. We've talked about this. You can know all about him and not know him. And he wants us to know him. He's put his spirit within us to know him. And Paul's reminded that the Roman church, they were having problems. They were having bickering and fighting and backstabbing and backbiting going on. And Paul said, whoa, wait a minute, time out. He said, Jesus Christ made peace with God for us. It wasn't the law that made peace. It wasn't your good works that made peace. Jesus Christ did that through the shedding of his blood. He said what the law couldn't do because of the weakness of our flesh. Nobody could be justified by the law, the Ten Commandments. He said God did. So you see, as a Christian, I can't boast and brag. What I did was called out to God and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and asked his for his forgiveness and him for his mercy. Does that mean that I can live any way I want? No. We just read that. Paul said, no. If you choose to live by the flesh, if you choose to go your way, he said, what's the end result of that? Death. And he's not talking about physical death because we all going to die physically. There's no country song I grew up listening to said you ain't never going to get out of this world alive. God is talking about a spiritual death, the second death, eternal separation from him. That's the death that God speaks of. That's the death Paul's speaking about. Once we come to Christ, once we receive his Holy Spirit, Paul said, now you got a choice to make. Who you going to follow? My problem is, over the last 40 years, sometimes I think I got things figured out pretty good, Lord. And the Holy Spirit will go, no, you don't. You don't want to go that way. That way leads to destruction. It's so easy to do what we think is right in our own eyes. But what's the scripture say? We at our best are like filthy rags to God. If I told you literally what the Hebrew meant, it would offend some of you, so I won't do that. But it's not pretty. But God in His mercy wanted so much to reconcile us to Him, to bring us back to Him, that He sent His Son to die for us. He shed His blood because of our sins, and that's the only way you're going to have peace with God. The only way you can be brought back to God is through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. But that's the beginning. Too often we treat people like, we bring them in here and we baptize them into Christ, and then you just want to leave them alone. Okay, you're in. That's just the beginning, church. Paul says, you have a choice to make now. You who have joined yourself to Jesus Christ, you're going to have to decide who you're going to follow. And it's not an easy choice. The world will line up against you. When you decide to live for Christ, it comes at a cost. It can cost you friends. It can cost you a job. I've heard of people losing their jobs, especially in the bigger, higher-up corporates, for refusing to compromise and do what their bosses want done. It can cost you relationships. When I came to Christ, all my doper buddies quit coming around, and I finally realized after a year or two, all we ever had in common was getting high. And I thought these were my friends, two of them. Out of all the guys I ran with, two of them would still come and visit with me. But I'd start talking about Jesus, they'd get up and leave. But at least they still came and seen me. That's all we had in common was getting high. Me coming to Christ cost me friendships, people that I thought were very dear friends. I'm not saying that to brag. But I found that I had to make a choice. Was I going to compromise my faith in Christ? Or was I going to stay true? I had to stay true. It can cost you family relationships. I've known of families that have split because somebody has decided to follow Jesus Christ. I heard one missionary's testimony from India that his father said, if you follow this Jesus, you're dead. And he said, Papa, I have to follow Jesus. And he said, you're dead. Out. His mom and dad said, kicked him out. Don't come back. Now, a few years later, he got to preach a revival, and his father came to Christ. He was sitting in the back row, and he said, I was preaching, and he said, here come my dad walking up the aisle just bawling. He said, then I was bawling. Do you have that kind of commitment? Jesus said, if you love your husband or wife more than me, you're not worthy of me. Well, that sounds harsh to us. If you love your children more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your life more than me, you're not worthy of me. Who's he to make those demands? He left everything. God, as Greg mentioned, God became a man. He left the glories, the protection, the riches of heaven, and became a servant so he could save us. So he has every right to say to you and I, you need me to make a decision who you're going to follow. I did it for you. Are you willing to do that for me? It's all about choice, church. Paul said, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. A lot of folks claim to be sons and daughters now that ain't. And that's just pure hillbilly. We have a choice. We need to choose to follow God's Spirit instead of expecting God's Spirit to follow us. We need to stop saying, I did it my way, and start saying, I want to do it your way. What choice are you going to make? And this is an everyday choice. This isn't a one-time choice. You have to face this every day, every situation you get into. Who am I going to follow? We have a choice to make, church. One thing I really love about the Lord, and I have since I've come to know him, is he means what he says, and he says what he means, and he keeps it simple for people like me. Have you ever made a choice to believe in Jesus Christ and to understand that you're a sinner, that you have violated the laws of God, and you are facing eternal separation from him? If you haven't, then start thinking about the fact that you need to make a choice. He sent his son to die for your sins and for my sins, that we might become the righteousness of God, that we might become his children. And it's only through Jesus Christ that you're going to get to God. It's not through your works. It's not through church membership. Only through Jesus Christ. Until you realize that you need a Savior, you won't be saved. You have a choice to make.